You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, a Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven
Steelers
by Liberty
Week.
Ford. Hey, by the way, be there at First Energy Stadium as your Cleveland Browns take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's on December 1st in a critical AFC matchup with playoff implications. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com for available tickets. It is time to bring together the roundtable, and it is brought to you by... and served by is the more correct way. Rosewood Grill in Hudson, Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood's the casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that bring you award-winning Blue Point Grill, Delmonico Steakhouse, and it's the kind of place that you go, incredible quality of food, the service, it'll blow you all away. We've been served a Rosewood feast.
My goodness.
Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan were in here partaking, along with some other staffers, the beef sandwiches, the French dip.
With the au jus. It's going to be in the back of the F-150
mac and cheese with lobster. What else do we have? Ribs.
And the sushi shots.
Doug's digging some of the ribs out of his teeth as we speak.
The ahi tuna sushi shots. They are unbelievable.
I mean, it was off the hook. We want to thank George Schindler and all of our great friends.
And Megan Rock wants us to acknowledge how good the chips are. From the top to bottom, they've got everything.
Just a quick endorsement of the chips, Megan.
Amazing chips, thank you.
They were homemade, amazing chips. All right, so guys, your bellies are full now, Jim. And
thank you. First of all, Vic, to you, Nathan, and Megan, namaste.
Namaste.
It's the new Jim.
I noticed you kissing the ground out there. I didn't know what was going on.
Really. By the way, you're sporting. You got this orange. You're rocking an orange tie.
It's Steeler Week. Yeah. Steeler Week. I mean,
the spirit.
I mean, I hope everybody tomorrow, when they go to work, will show their spirit and wear something orange or brown or both.
Paint the town brown.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are you feeling about Steeler Week, sir?
I think it comes at a good time. I think as bad as the second quarter and the rest of that afternoon was in Cincinnati, I think it's good that it comes now. I think that this team wants to bounce back. They realize they let a great opportunity get away from them last Sunday. What better way to do it than against Pittsburgh? And I think they like playing at home. I think they loved that game a couple of weeks ago against Baltimore. So I think it's good that they're playing them. I feel good about it.
I do feel good about it. I also think it's probably a good thing, given the state of what Ben Roethlisberger's done lately, that the weather looks like it could be very cold, could be bad, not conducive to passing. So, Doug, let me ask you, if this turns into a ground game, you got the Browns' ground game, but the Steelers' Le'Veon Bell averaging just 2.7 yards per carry himself over the last four, how are we going to see that go?
Well, I think it's going to be the battle, much like last week, on a battle of defenses, and it's going to come down to who turns the ball over and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just really bit you last year. Last week, you had the three interceptions, you had a fumble, and I think you count the two blocked punts as turnovers, too. So you're basically, minus four in the afternoon, and what's the number they give you, about 7% chance to win?
Right,
yeah,
right.
You're right. Those numbers don't bode well when you're looking at that sort of thing, but here's the other thing that jumped out at me about the Steelers, Jim, is watching them against Detroit, that first half, they pretty much go no huddle. And it was such an unusual look for the Steelers, for Ben Roethlisberger to be running that kind of an offense. And I just wonder, as you think about the strength of the Lions, it makes perfect sense with those really big guys up front and Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, to keep him on the move, keep him on the run. Now you're going up against a Browns team that essentially is a pretty big team as well.
Yeah.
So how do you view that?
Well, I think you're going to see it once again on Sunday, and I think Roethlisberger likes it. And I think when they took it away from him, I think he rebelled against that. I think running it. I think he does it very, very well. And I think once everybody gets over the control factor and let him do what he likes to do, then I think the Browns had better prepare for it, because I think when they go into it, he does it very well. I mean, I know Manning does it well. Both Mannings do it well, and I know they all do it well, but Big Ben's had a lot of success doing it.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, him and Todd Haley
agree. Keeps Haley out of the play calling.
Oh, yeah. The thing, you know, so he gets a chance to call his own. But somebody was saying the other day it makes a little bit of a difference, because usually they set off the quarterback's helmet from the coach with 15 18 seconds left. Well, if you're at the line of scrimmage, you know, when that play clock starts, you're listening to that coach and, you know, seeing what he's seeing
right
as you're at the line of scrimmage right before the 15 seconds.
You know, I heard Mike Tomlin just the other day in his press conference, and people were questioning him about the no huddle, and he doesn't like it for another reason. He thinks you give away too much, you know, up at the line of scrimmage, that all of a sudden everybody knows your calls. That he thinks that everybody nowadays gets a chance to zone in on what you're calling, huh, and they can sync it up and see it. And I know teams probably change their calls a great deal, but he thinks that it's too much information for everybody. But,
spoken like a defensive coach.
Yeah,
though.
But Sunday, yeah, you know, when they had the success and then they got the lead, you know, he said, let's stay with it.
Right.
So, you know, right, you know, he saw the assets of it.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting, though, when you talk about too much information is that Peyton Manning uses that against defenses. He
right,
switches it up every week, and you think you have a certain call, and it's really something completely different, and he takes advantage of that. You know, you look at Antonio Brown having a phenomenal season.
Wow.
Clearly, they don't miss Mike Wallace, who is languishing
right
down in Miami. But Jericho Cotri, guy I talked about a little bit earlier, 7 touchdowns on the season, all in the red zone. He's actually, of the 11 touchdown passes Ben's thrown in the red zone, 7 have gone to Cotri. The Browns have had trouble with these secondary guys stepping up, whether it be tight ends, whether it be guys like Jarrett Boykin, whether it be Mohamed Sanu last week. How can they get a hold of that and stop these guys?
Who was the guy from the Lions?
Joseph Fourier, the tight end with 3 touchdowns.
Now, he made it down to the final list of 25 for the Hall of Fame just on that game.
Yes, he did. You're right. Yes, he did.
You're right. I mean, you got to worry about that. Although I have to tell you, I thought the Browns did a great job last week, and I have total confidence in their secondary. And as great as Hayden was, and he was off the charts, I thought Scream was very good once again in the game. So, but boy, Antonio Brown is just what a year he's having. It's just a sensational season,
he's so
lost in a little bit of this A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
But Cotri, you know, he's their Hines Ward now. I mean, that's the guy
right
that, you know, used to be Big Ben's favorite target when they got down there.
Yep.
And you just got to play him the same. But he doesn't have the bulk, I don't think, of a Hines Ward.
No.
He doesn't play as physical as Hines Ward.
And it's that speed that we talked about a little bit earlier with Brown matching up with Joe Hayden. Now, after the display that Joe Hayden gave Sunday and what he's done all season, there's no reason, I guess, to doubt him against anybody because he's just been amazing. However, I think he faces a much different challenge than he had even from a receiver as great as Green because of Brown's speed.
Well, not only because of Brown's speed, but because of Roethlisberger's
and the
ability to
yeah
extend the play. And all of a sudden, you know, you start running fire drills out there where, you know, this isn't where a guy's supposed to be going, but Ben's running, so we're just going to, you know, try to extend the play.
Yeah, you do have to cover longer. And, you know, it becomes an ad-lib play for everybody concerned because he breaks off so much stuff. And there have been games that the Browns, you know, have been in. I think that, you know, the game that Colt McCoy got hurt in was a tight ball game that time. And Antonio Brown, they had, you know, covered him well the entire game. And he broke one off late in the game. And that's exactly what happened. So you're right, Vic. I mean, Joe Hayden could turn in another phenomenal performance on Sunday, but it doesn't mean he's going to keep Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger away from hitting a play.
And that's what you have to hope to do, kind of try to make them grind it out. Hopefully the conditions are conducive to that. Speaking of the Browns' running game, which we know they're going to need to be able to get to the Steelers, and you can run on them. They're giving up 104.8 yards per game to running backs, 24th in the league. How do you see? You saw more Obanaya, led the team in snaps played, touches at running back, more Fozzie Whitaker, McGahee down to just 13 snaps last week. Is that a trend you expect to see continue?
Boy, I don't know. You know, when you give the number about the Steelers, my concern is can we run on them? You
right
know, I mean, you know, everybody else is running on them, but can we run on them? But I was interested in that, Nathan, that Obanaya seemed to be the flavor of choice last Sunday in the game. And, of course, he hit the big run, you know, for 43 yards.
It's about time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's going to be more of a, you know, the norm.
I think, you know, the utilization of young legs in the offense is good because I think, you know, with McGahee, you're kind of limited where you're going to go. You're going to go between the tackles. I think Obanaya gives you a little bit more of the field to cover.
He does. Well, this is the Roundtable, by the way, that is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Again, check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. We have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and, of course, Doug Deacon, former Browns offensive lineman in the booth. Guys, let's talk about Jason Campbell, and let's talk about redemption game for him after the struggles he had at Cincinnati. And I just wonder, if because I think these are tied together. We talked about the running game that you want to see, and like Doug said, can the Browns get that going against the 26th ranked run defense in the league, a run defense that's looked leaky on Pittsburgh's part? I think that has to be an area of strength for the Browns in this game, however they can do it, and I'm not sure they can, but however they can do it if Jason Campbell is to rebound.
Yeah, and I think you got to stay with it.
You didn't
longer.
Sound very confident there.
Well, I mean, I worry about, you know, I think that we were correct in our assessment that he did not feel 100% in that game last Sunday with those ribs, because I think that's a part of his game, Vic, that, you know, if you don't have to play him pulling the ball down and occasionally taking off, then I think that that check down thing out in the flat becomes a staple of your offense. So I think the other thing is that there are just times that the Browns get away from it. I mean, even down on the goal line there, you know, on second and third down when they didn't get in and they missed Cameron in the back. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that they only ran on one play there. And, you know, they got down to the 1.5 on McGahee on the first run, and then they threw after that. So, I mean, you know, they just don't stay with it a lot. And I know they haven't gotten big results. But if people say you just got to keep banging away at it, I think you have to keep banging away at it.
Well, one of the other problems, you know, Norv addressed it last week. He says, well, we have to just show it to get set up your play-action passes. But the problem then becomes you're running play-action passes and people aren't honoring your running game. So they're just playing, you know, to run on the way to the passer, and that makes it really tough on your offensive line.
Sure.
But it is a big rebound game for Campbell. There's no question.
It is.
You know, he had a nice bye week living off the Baltimore game, and I'm sure, you know, coming into that game Sunday and the way it started, I think that, you know, you had a pretty good feeling about what they were going to do, and then it quickly went away from him.
It went away very quickly.
Do we think, Nathan, it's confidence, or what is it that he needs to kind of get back to feeling? I thought there was just a little absence of that in that last game.
And I said this to you, and this is, again, not from knowing anything other than when we've had him in here, and he seems like a very calm, very steady guy. But I just wonder, psychologically, when you think about these things, is the backup quarterback making your first start on the road in Kansas City? There are no expectations. There were zero expectations for Jason Campbell in that game. Baltimore was a bigger game. There were some expectations. You still didn't know what you had. He plays well there. Then you have 2 weeks where you're saying, this guy's thrown 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, played the best 2-game stretch of his career. Maybe he's just a perfect fit with Norv Turner. 2 weeks of hype, 2 weeks of expectations. There was a lot on Jason Campbell in that game, and he didn't necessarily come into it 100%, we know, with the ribs, and he didn't execute at the level he had been previously. Now I think it almost resets. There's almost kind of that, okay, well, this is why he's been bounced around the league for 9 years, and I think he has an opportunity now to kind of play a little bit more freely this week against the Steelers.
Yeah, I just wonder how he'll play against them. I know that it's always it's quite a puzzle to try and figure out when you're going up against Dick LeBeau, but it helps. You know, we've seen, Nathan, so many young quarterbacks completely dazed after they play the LeBeau defense and the Steeler defense for the first or second time. I mean, you go right down the list. I mean, Whedon, McCoy, all of them. But I wonder if this guy, being around 9 years, won't be as phased and as glassy-eyed when he tries to decipher what he's got to do.
But if you look at the location of Jason's throws last week, they were all to the outside. I mean, there was nothing really aggressively down the middle. It was almost like I'm not going to make a mistake. But in doing so, he ended up making mistakes.
I think you're exactly right with that. And to me, when you look at this defense of the Steelers, they are getting older. They are getting slower. They're susceptible to giving up the big plays, I think, especially Troy Polamalu. If you're willing to take shots at him, you can get big plays. And I said earlier on the show, the average passing touchdown against the Steelers this year, 31.8 yards, second biggest in the NFL. They need to take advantage of that. And you talked about not going down the seam aggressively. Jordan Cameron, where has he been?
I don't know.
How can they get him going?
Yeah. And, you know, when I see him, Nathan, it's kind of late in games. It's kind of garbage time. It's a little bit of garbage time by the time, you know, the ball seems to find him. You know, when the score is decided and he ends up with a lot of padded stats. Now, I don't think he's all about that, but is the reality of when these catches are coming.
Well, teams play soft at the end, and you can get that. And he had six catches for, what, 29 yards?
And, you know, he had that 6-yard route that was open over the middle late in the game.
All right, so, Doug, I want your help here. Excuse me. Go inside the locker room or inside the meeting room. On Monday, DeQuell Jackson took it upon himself to, as captain of the defense, but as one of the foremost leaders of this team, to kind of call people out, to kind of address that entire room on the basis of what had happened in Cincinnati, and basically say you have to hold people accountable, and he wanted that message heard. He said he was observing especially during that second quarter blow up last week, body language and attitude and what, you know, how guys were conducting themselves on the sideline. And he had some things to say. He was not specific. That stays, I know, within the team. How impactful can something like that be?
Well, it can be very impactful. And I think you look at the special teams and the fact that they had the problems with the blocked punts. You know, Robin Yount obviously knows, and he held himself accountable for the pick play. Robin Yount. Christian Yount. Okay.
Christian. That was a fine baseball player.
Can we do
player.
A baseball show? This
fine.
Time?
That's all right.
Okay, Jim Cantor.
If it had been Robin Yount, it explains it better.
That was the problem, Doug. Robin Yount was snapping the ball.
But he got picked, and he realized how, you know, what he did, that he didn't step back far enough, and he didn't, you know, take on one of the blockers. On the other one, you know, Martin steps up aggressively instead of setting off a little bit, and Mingo gets beat to the inside. Now, Mingo's the kind of kid that is not, I think he's not going to make the same mistake twice. But, you know, how much of that is they were putting people in there because of injuries that all of a sudden really hadn't had a lot of experience at it.
Right.
And, you know, this is a young team, and, you know, sometimes when you plug in a young kid, you know, it's a problem. But the fact that, you know, you got to hold yourself accountable. Yeah, you know, it's the old Blanton Collier statement, you know, success will come as long as you don't care who gets the credit. And, you know, that's what it's got to be. And if you're going to feel sorry for yourself, this ain't the week to do it.
No.
Because these guys don't give a dang. You know, they're going to come out and club you, you know, just going to the locker room, not alone when you get on the field.
Now, didn't they survive a 27-point quarter against them? Last week against
the Steelers?
Didn't the Lions get 27, I think?
They did in the second quarter.
In the second quarter.
Calvin Johnson had 150 yards and two scores.
Well therein goes the difference. I mean, they survived it, what Vic is saying, that DeQuell might have been alluding to. And I think he's right. They it was awful, but we got to survive it. And they did, and they went on and won the game. And we did not survive that. I have to tell you, I did notice one thing, Vic, over on the sideline when that thing was blowing up, how frustrated guys on that defense were. I mean, T.J. Ward, Hayden, and obviously DeQuell, by his words, were frustrated. I mean, I think they're tired of this. They thought they were over this.
And they thought they were doing it. They had the game was in
and
control. They were up 13-0. They forced another three and
absolutely.
Out. They had a chance to seize momentum, and you get the Campbell interception that kind of changes it back. Fortunately for the Browns, they didn't have Jim Schwartz over there doing some idiotic things to help them get back in the game.
Well, I mean, they already had Robin Yount. I mean, could they have survived Schwartz?
They could have survived him as well. You know, what does it say, though?
Mr. Fear of Flying.
What does it say, though, to you guys about this team? And to me, it's almost that there's a sense from the veterans that we can do something here, that we know in Kansas City at halftime there was a come to Jesus. Now DeQuell Jackson, basically two games later, there's another come to Jesus.
Yeah, it says to me that you're still a pretty young football team, and it says to me that the maturity level isn't where it needs to be. The performance said that. I mean, playing as badly as they had to play to lose a game against a team that was playing poorly enough to lose makes that statement resoundingly that you're not ready. And what does not ready mean? It just means I think it's a mindset, it's an attitude. And Jim, you made the point. I think the DeQuell Jacksons, the T.J. Wards, and Joe Haydens had seen enough of that
it's higher
in their time here.
Yeah,
they're saying, guys,
exactly.
that we can't start doing this falling apart crap.
The old here we go again.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What you got to be.
It's self-fulfilling.
Of.
And they got a great shot now in these two games. I mean, they're at home. They're comfortable at home. They've won in the division now a couple of times, albeit both of them are at home, but everybody's won at home in the division. They have a great shot now to straighten this thing out and get that bad taste out of their mouth.
Yeah.
It's huge. I mean, this is huge. This is a game that allows them to still be playing meaningful games. They are not going where they want to get this season without beating the Steelers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I think we laid it all out there. All right, guys, thank you so much. Jim Donovan, the voice
of the
Browns.
Love the roundtable.
And, of course, Doug
Deacon. Vic, it's good to see that they did a stadium rendering of the new renovations on your cupcake there.
Pete Bickford, our head of security, brought by some goodies that his birthday. It's just been a food-filled day.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, what are you going to do?
If you put down that cupcake after what I saw you do to the Rosewood Grill selection
I'm
there.
I'm staring at it.
Those scoreboards really are going to be big.
I'm getting fatter by the
I apologize for not wishing Pete a happy 50th.
That's right. Our buddy Pete. He is the best. Again, brought to you by, served to you by Rosewood Grill. It's in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Homemade soups, burgers, steaks, seafood, something for everyone on the menu. Yes, Doug?
just
to say
the other day, Jim Donovan came up to me and said, I ate at the Rosewood Grill the other day.
I announced it on the show the other day.
Yeah. But let's reinforce it. And did you enjoy it?
I had a great time. I had the tomato bisque. Ooh. I had the oriental chicken salad.
Awesome.
It was absolutely fantastic.
It's good.
We still have enough food out here to feed half this building.
And we supported the Cabin Club last night.
See? And there you go. Hospitality restaurants. We love it. All right, folks. It is the, well, we're going to, at the top of the hour, bring you a perspective on the Steelers. Ron Cook, fine columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, is going to join us to break that down. You know him, Jim.
Yes.
And then we'll have Gerard Cherry join us a little bit later in the hour. We want your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and also tweet us at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, the show is Cleveland Browns Daily, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.